Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Star Wars News, where we break down the biggest topics and headlines in the galaxy. I'm Steph Sabrad, Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, joined with my favorite co-pilot ever, Ryan Nilsson,
and
in the building head of Popcorn Talk.
Jedi Temple Challenge competitor, because I need to get a spot there, Steph. I'm a Padawan in training.
You absolutely do.
I know it's for kids.
You deserve it. You deserve it, Rye. And I think that we should start a petition immediately to get the age range bumped up a bit so that we can get you on,
that,
in that competition.
They need to raise it. You know, like, petitions are working a lot lately. So I think that this would be a good one.
The power of the people is strong. Don't you forget it.
I will not forget it. I'm also not going to forget the people in the chat. Shout out to Manny Gonzalez, Lewis Cox. A ton of other people in the chat right now. Darth Baca, who patiently, thank you guys for waiting. We're starting a little later. Steph's
yeah,
brother,
you guys,
Delater.
So, Steph's brother, he's the greatest. He made me coffee. He saw me a little bit upset because I got an Ethernet cord because I've had, if you guys watch me on The World Girls, I've had internet issues. And so I'm trying to be proactive, but I don't do well under internet or tech issues. I'm not equipped.
You're not equipped.
No, but it's okay. We're here now, and it's been an interesting week. I want to start off with, in my opinion, the most important Star Wars news item. One of my favorite Star Wars characters of all time, actor John Boyega, took a stand on social media, obviously, with the immense amount of news during this coronavirus time of police brutality towards Black Americans has been insane. And John Boyega has always been really vocal about being Black and proud. He's bringing a slew of Nigerian films to Netflix. So he has definitely never shied away from the conversation. He definitely didn't this week. He basically, in quotes, said, if you're his fan and you are racist, fuck off. And if you're a white racist, fuck off. And people had an issue with that, which I personally don't understand, because if you are not racist, then you shouldn't be offended. So I thought that was really awesome of him. I love that he's using his voice for change, and it seemed to equip a lot of good intention and spread the message.
Yeah, it was a crazy eventful week. And Finn himself, John Boyega, just lending his voice into the conversation.
Yeah, I loved him. And then he made it funny, which he always does. He kept, no one can bother him. And people were trolling him, and he trolls back. So I just think he's doing a really good job and kind of making it a better place in Hollywood in general, because we're so scared of not getting jobs that we are willing to not stand up for what's right. So go John Boyega, once again, my number one.
He's your number one. That's right.
Yeah, he's my number one. Okay, now let's move to fun news. Ryan, this is what you're really excited about. The Jedi Temple, they just dropped a new trailer for this game, that an interactive game for kids right now. But like we said, we want adults to be able to join too.
Yes.
And they're being challenged to see if they can become Jedi Knights. And there's different things that they have to do. They have mental challenges and physical challenges. Ryan, what are you most excited about with it?
Oh my gosh, everything. Everything. I mean, I was a huge fan of the Nickelodeon Legends of the Hidden Temple, and I watched every single one. I think it's such a fun game show idea. I wish we still had like Double Dare and all those other ones to this day. Like, where'd they go? And now that I know we're getting a Star Wars version of that, this is interesting. The trailer looked really cool, although, and we talked a little earlier today, I don't know exactly what the trials are. Like, what are the games? What are the competitions? And it sounds like you're a Jedi, you're a Padawan, you're competing against other Padawans, and like, you might, if you lose, you go to the dark side or something. The trailer looked cool, and I thought it was great to see Ahmed Best back in the Star Wars universe. You know, he voiced Jar Jar Binks, and he also did the mocap for him, and now we get to see him, and he's in a Jedi robe. Like, he's, I think this is so cool that they got him for this. He's the perfect.
Yeah, I thought, I was so happy when they announced that he would be hosting the show. And I just think it's such a fun fit. Usually I love, obviously being a host, I would love to host something like this. But if you're going to not pick like a host by trade, that is so fun when you pick someone in-house, especially someone who doesn't, a lot of people don't even know him because he was a voice actor of Jar Jar.
Right. I mean, I think even the more exciting thing was just seeing he's happy, because I know there have been reports over the past couple years, or I guess decades, that, you know, he had some hard time with the reaction a lot of people had for his character Jar Jar. I mean, this is one of the most hated, I'm just telling it how it is, it's one of the most hated characters in the Star Wars universe, although there is an audience, like there's a whole group of kids that like grew up loving Jar Jar, and he grows on me in some scenes, but he definitely has been vocal about how that was hard for him in the past, but I think he's embraced a lot of it, and again, fan with open arms, he's a fan with open arms, and now the galaxy is embracing him back, and I think he's so good for this. Steph, I do need to compete in this, though. I mean, wouldn't you want to compete in this?
Yeah, I would, and I would have no problem beating little kids' asses in this game.
I need to do this. Even with the Legends of the Hidden Temple, I thought parents were involved in that game. Like, it was always like a family ordeal, and then the youngest would go do the final task. So I kind of wish I knew a little bit more about what the tasks and games are going to be. How do you feel about it exclusively being on the Star Wars Kids YouTube?
I think it's smart. I think that's what I would do if I was a business person, put something on your own YouTube page, because everything is moving digital anyways, or you partner with a streaming site, but it's by you. And I know Disney doesn't play any games like that, so they're always going to do stuff by them and for them. But I do think that it's, it would be, I guess YouTube's great because it doesn't discriminate. Almost everyone, a lot of people have access to YouTube and the internet, so they'd be able to watch it. But it's cool to think that there would be kind of a new coming of the Nickelodeon slime games.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing, though, is like I worry that we don't have that Nickelodeon factor that those other ones have. Mm. Like, they were so fun. I, to this day, not a lot, but I thought it was fun. Like, in college, we would put some on. You forgot who won, and you would kind of like bet who would win.
Yeah,
like, there's some really cool stuff that they could do with this. I'm almost shocked they didn't really. I'm curious to see what the final product is, and it's coming out next week, June 3rd. But I'm kind of shocked this isn't a bigger, like, we're putting this on Disney Plus. It's a game show.
We have. They might be incubating it.
You think it's a beta?
Maybe, because they've never done something like this, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And I mean, like, they've never done a physical game like this on a show, like a show, have they? I don't think.
Not for Star Wars. Not for
Star Wars. Yeah, that's what I mean with Star Wars.
Right. I just think there's an opportunity. This is a really rich idea, and I think this is something that'd be perfect for Disney Plus. The fact that it's on YouTube, I think there's great content on YouTube. I mean, this show's on YouTube, so I'm not putting down YouTube at all. But I just think, you know, I would have more and more excitement if I knew that they really put like a lot into this, and
that
Disney Plus money.
But
hey, maybe they did, and I can't wait to see it. The trailer looked awesome.
Yeah, it did. What kind of game would you want to see?
Oh my gosh, I think. Well, so Ahmed Best talked about like going to Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland and building a lightsaber with his kids. I think that's a really fun game right there. It's like find the pieces of a lightsaber in some kind of weird, you know, battlefield or something like that, just like a gameplay, and you have to search for them and find them. I know that was something in the Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon where you had to find pieces to some kind of device and put it all together in like under 2 minutes. I think that'd be really fun if you're like putting together a lightsaber, or maybe it's finding like a holocron or anything. There's so many options. And it looked like they were playing around with some force things and like hitting some floating objects. There's a lot of games. How about you?
Yeah, but like, what's the consequence for losers? Like, obviously you're trying to become a Jedi Knight, but how do you tell a kid who's competed and given their soul into a game that you're a loser and you're not a Jedi Knight? Or what is there a loser? Like, I don't get it.
You know, that's a really good question. I think what was also kind of fun about Double Dare and the Legends of the Hidden Temple OG was, I mean, these were games that, like, when you lost, the audience clapped and like you were escorted out, but you were there watching still as a fan. I think it's like any other game show. You're asked to like step to the side. I don't know if it's necessarily like you go
step to
the dark
side, loser.
Maybe. I'm throwing some images up here of the trailer right now for all the fans watching, but it looks like there's a droid that's with Ahmed Best as well. That could be another thing, is like building a droid, finding the pieces to a droid. There's so many paths you could go down. I think this could be really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to see it, and that's going to come out June 3rd.
Oh, you know, also trivia. Like, that was another thing. There was the mental component to some of these games, and then there's the physical component. And I think Star Wars trivia, that's another thing you could interlace in there.
Yeah. It is cool to see how they're going to try to tap into younger audiences, because I obviously don't have kids, so I don't, and I'm not around kids a lot, thankfully.
You're not?
So I don't know what kids in this generation's reaction is to Star Wars. It seems like they're still just as popular as ever, but it is cool to see how they're going to continue outreaching.
Semri Tisfani in the chat says Jedi Temple Challenge looks so fun. Brandon Hanna in the chat coming in saying the kids who lose fall into the dark side and become Sith.
Wait, is that for real?
That's what Brandon Hanna said. I think the trailer kind of alluded to that. Like, if you lose, you turn to the dark side. But I think it'd be really funny if they just went all out and said, like, no, you're a bad
person
now. What could be a fun consequence other than you're out of the competition?
They need something like slime.
They do. You got it.
Because slime is like a fun way to go out. You're a loser, but at least you can say you were Nickelodeon slime.
That's the question for the chat then. What is Star Wars's slime?
What's blue milk?
Blue milk.
That'd be disgusting.
Maybe it's, is there a scene in Star Wars where, oh wait, what if it's like you get put in the trash compactor or?
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, they need to make losing kind of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can go down. And so it's next week. And if it's anything like Legends of the Hidden Temple, and there's like the red team and all these different groups.
Oh yeah, you want to bet on it.
Yeah, I think that we should really high stakes this. Before the episode starts, they introduce everyone. I'm picking a Padawan. And I'm going to see if they can ride out and become a full-fledged
Jedi.
You're
going to size them up.
I'm going to size them up. I'm going to be cheering them on. And I'm going to get really competitive with this.
That's amazing, Ry. I totally support you in your competitiveness towards kids competing in games.
Yes. I got to get on there. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I think maybe if it's successful, why wouldn't they make it like an American Ninja Warrior?
Oh, my
right?
God. America Jedi Knight or
something like that. I would do it. Please. That'd be so fun.
Please. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Here for it. Okay. This is kind of sad. The Star Wars new book series, The Higher Republic.
Hi.
has been pushed back to next year. It's a big pushback, right? I was kind of expecting a pushback because everything is right now with how it is, but I forgot what year it is. 2021 seems like a really long time.
Yeah, this was a bummer. I'm also throwing a photo up here just of the series. This was something that, you know, Star Wars announced earlier this year. The High Republic. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a whole new line of books. You know, the movie Skywalker Saga is done right now, so we're going back, and it's not just prequel era. We're going like 100 years before that. This is Old Republic era. I was really looking forward to these books. We were supposed to get them in August, at least the first couple, because I think this is something that new movies can build off of. Like, we can tell new stories. It's a whole new time period of Star Wars we're not familiar with. This is easily, in terms of like new content, the most, I think, impactful new stuff we're gonna get, because it's lore. Like, we're getting a ton of stuff from years past, brand new characters. Like, this is huge. This isn't like The Mandalorian or Clone Wars, where there's new characters, but it's a familiar time period. We have like Mandalorian armor we're used to, and there's characters we've heard of. We've seen stormtroopers. Like, this is none of that. This is a fresh slate, new start, and really exciting. And I'm kind of bummed. I didn't really understand the full reasoning for the push, because they just kind of said, oh, it's we're falling in line with the studio delays. I'm like, these are novels you have written.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because but they're clearly already written. Whatever they were going to publish is already written or in the final editing mode. And for you to push it back, because I understand production being pushed back because you just can't, we can't film the same way that we used to. And it's hard, you can't have meetings the same way you used to. But for books, it seems weird. It also seems weird because it is a time where people are probably reading more.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand the motive behind it, but
it's confusing.
I guess I'm not that surprised.
And I'm bummed. Like, I think this would be such a key moment to capitalize on people at home reading. But if you don't want to compromise the way you roll out. So, like, I trust them for delaying it. If it means for better content at the end, I'm all for it. It's just like, man, we were going to get this whole new side of the galaxy. And now we got to wait 4 or 5 more months.
I guess when you think about it, too, there is the whole perspective of it is a really hard time financially for people. So, and we know Disney loves money. So maybe they're planning around like when the economy is better and people want to buy more things.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, selfishly as a fan, like I'm bummed about this. But if it means for a better better content in the end, like I said, I know over the past couple months, you know, on this show, we have gone through images of like new Jedi that are going to be in these books.
Yeah, really cool. Us, we were there.
There is a book cover that is literally Steph and I. I'll try to flash it for everyone real quick, but it's us. And
yeah, the characters that they had on all the covers looked so dope. It's also a time where there was way more Jedi action than in a lot of the feature films that we know, so it would have been an exciting story to tell. And I'm happy that they're not canceling it. It's just delayed.
That would have been a bummer if it was canceled, and thank God it's not. All right, I'm putting up the photo right now. This is literally, I mean, guys, come on. Like, that is, I'll see if I can show Steph real quick.
When they first dropped these pictures, I thought it was going to, I had no context to when I first saw the pictures, and I thought it was a show.
You thought it was a show?
I mean, yeah, I thought all the whole High Republic was going to be a show, and I was just blown away. But books are dope, too.
It's Claudia Gray, who has done a bunch of Star Wars stuff in the past.
Yeah, that's like, us, right?
It's us. Really cool. I think the thing is they want to do this right. Last time we went backwards in Star Wars was the prequels. And I mean, those were movies. These are books. So I think it's a little bit lower stakes in terms of everyone who's going to see it. I think it's a smaller fandom that they're adhering to there, but it's still important to really take your time, make sure you do it right.
Yeah. In book
Greg,
news.
Real quick. Greg Castillo says, holy shit, y'all made it. Going off that image.
Yes, we did, Greg. Thank you for noticing and seeing us in that light.
We'll recreate it one of these days.
We need to.
That'd
yeah, I would poster. Rock that jumpsuit she's wearing.
Oh my gosh.
No, we should do that, Ryan. Do that TikTok thing where they like stand and then you put in the picture of the image you're imitating.
Oh, we'll make a TikTok.
You know what I'm talking about?
And we'll tag Claudia Gray. We'll get the author on. It's going to be huge. And then we'll compete with her on the Jedi Temple Challenge.
Yes. A new book was announced called Queen's Peril by E.K. Johnston. That will be coming out June 2nd, 2020.
Next week. Queen's Peril, E.K. Johnston. I'm the biggest E.K. Johnston fan like on Earth. She wrote the Ahsoka Tano novel. We actually got to interview her on AfterBuzz TV Animation right before the Clone Wars series on Disney Plus came back out. She wrote another book on Padme Amidala, so this is her second one, and it sounds awesome. Like, there's apparently gonna be a concert.
You've been tweeting at her to come on the show, right?
I have, and I hope we can schedule something for one of these days. She's been popping up on a lot of other stuff. I think her schedule's a little busy even in quarantine, but she would be such a fun guest. I'm gonna see if we can get her to talk Queen's Peril. I'm gonna get this book, Steph, and I think I'm gonna read it.
I hope if you get it, you read it, Rye.
There's a ton of Star Wars books I've gotten and been like, all right, put it aside. But Ahsoka, the Ahsoka book is so good. Like, she, I trust EK to write anything. And again, in this interview, she alluded to there's apparently a Star Wars concert with a band that was really inspired by like some 90s rock bands. So I would have loved to read about that. A Star Wars concert? Are you kidding me? Wow.
Yeah, I'm there, Rye. I need to read the Ahsoka book, and she seems amazing. So, and it's cool that she's telling the story of some of the great heroines of Star Wars.
She is. Yeah, and I think Padme is a character that gets overlooked a lot of the times when we're talking about like badass female Star Wars characters.
But she is. She was a senator. She was just didn't always have the best instincts.
Oh yeah, I mean like a politician.
Yeah.
Like with secretly married to the most powerful Jedi ever. Like was a queen of an entire planet. Like this is a huge character in Star Wars, and I think this takes place right before Phantom Menace, and just it's about all the politics of her trying to convince everyone that like, hey, we're about to be invaded. We got to figure some stuff out.
Yeah. Okay. I have to ask you this question because you probably already know my answer.
Shoot.
There's rumors and opinions circulating the interwebs that Solo 2 should find a home at Disney Plus in a show version. So I have two questions. Do you think Solo 2 should find a home in any version? And would you want to see it in a show version?
I'm seeing the hashtag. It's Make Solo 2 Happen. And this has been going on for quite some time. It's a good question with should it be a TV series on Disney Plus? Inferring like, hey, we're bringing Alden Ehrenreich back. we're bringing Khaleesi back. You know, you and I aren't the biggest fans of Solo. I remember watching it in theaters and not loving it. Thought it was fine. It's a very unnecessary movie in my opinion. But with shows like The Clone Wars and this final season kind of having some ties to some stuff that went happen in Solo, Darth Maul, I am curious about a lot of stuff that goes down in that time period. And I think that I'm gonna kind of cheat with my answer. I think it'd be great to have a show that takes place in the same time period, the same exact time period right after Solo, and have him kind of pop up in, but not focus around him. I'm way more interested in everything that's going on with Darth Maul and what's going on with all those other bounty hunters and just everything in that realm. Mm-hmm. So for me, heck yes.
Yeah.
How about you?
If I could change history... I would have never had them never make Solo as a movie, and I would instead have them make Solo as a show following Chewie and Han instead of a Cassian Andor series. That has more validity to me than a Cassian Andor series.
Ooh, so I agree. I would be way more excited about anything Solo 2 related than the Cassian Andor series. There just hasn't been enough announced around the Cassian Andor series to make me remotely excited. And
yeah,
Han Solo is a character we know more about, but also just that movie. I liked Kira. I thought Kira was a cool, like, this is a woman that he felt
right.
Wow, that he fell in love with in the past. I think it's unique that she played him ultimately at the end.
Yeah, I know it. That wasn't shown well though.
You're right. They didn't give it a lot of time.
Like, you didn't know who she was. Yeah, I had no time. And
Crimson
such
Dawn.
A waste of an actor. I mean, she's one of my favorite actresses ever. I just, if you were going to introduce that storyline, they could have really hit it hard and made it like a seduction in a way.
And I think the crime group was Crimson Dawn that they were all around. Brandon Hanna, by the way, he thinks Solo is great. Look,
Brandon.
No offense. If you like Solo, that's great, guys. Like, I was a little disappointed by it, but
yeah.
I think this what's come out since Solo has actually made me like Solo more. Like, every Star Wars movie, there's not a Star Wars movie I don't like. So it's grown on me a lot, and I think it'd be really interesting to see more stories about Crimson Dawn and Darth Maul and everything that happened there. So heck yes.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see if they do anything. I doubt that Solo 2 will be made anytime soon in any form. I just think that there's a lot more stories that they're focusing on.
Oh my gosh. Shout out to Lewis Cox in the chat, the super chat, saying, love you guys. Star Wars is awesome always.
Love you, Lewis. Thank you.
Right there, Lewis. Right there, man. I also just think, you know, have the Obi-Wan show and have the Cassian Andor show come out before we even
talk about it. Yeah, I need some action. I need action, boss. I'm done with the talking. Yeah, I'm really excited for the Obi-Wan series, but that's another thing where I have no idea when we're actually going to get that.
Yeah. And I think we got like a fun little special convo here, Steph. Is that right?
Oh, yes. So there was a really, really interesting article on inverse.com. You're talking about the Count Dooku one, right?
Yes.
Dooku, sorry.
It's like Sudoku?
Sudoku. Count Dooku. And it was basically arguing that there needs to be a spinoff series on Disney Plus that focuses on the tale of him. What are your initial thoughts of this?
I think Count Dooku is one of the coolest characters in Star Wars. And I think his scenes in the prequels are really interesting. But they really show him just like in a certain light through all those movies and in the series Clone Wars, we get to get a little bit more out of him. I think he's amazing. I mean, this is a guy who was Master Yoda's Padawan and he turned to the dark side. Like, where is that story? How did Yoda, the most powerful Jedi ever, have his Padawan turn to the dark side? That's insane. Like, and that's a casual detail that's kind of thrown in those movies. I would love to dive deeper into that. I'm curious, at what age did he transition or get seduced to the dark side? Was he this old man or was he younger? How long? It seems like he had a rapport with Obi-Wan as a Jedi. So was he still, you know, on the light side during Phantom Menace? Like, these are all details I would love to learn more about. But so I'm all in on that. So like, what do you think, Steph?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think if you ask most people if they knew that he was Yoda's Padawan, they would say no.
Do you think for Christopher Lee, so Christopher Lee who played Count Dooku, tragically he's passed away, you know, in 2015, but...
I just rewatched Lord of the Rings and he's just such a legend. That is so sad. Yeah, RIP.
And I think when you have him in any cast, it just ups everyone's game.
Totally.
Seriously, but... You know, if he's not playing Count Dooku, do you think they could even recast him? Or I think they'd have to go really young. Like, they'd have to tell a young story.
Yeah, it'd have to be a different... Yeah, which would be. It would be the story of... I would be interested in what you just said, him and Yoda's relationship, which would be a younger him. I don't know exactly when... Or would it not be? Is that
it would be. I think that's what we would find out. It would probably be around the Phantom Menace... timeline, because the Emperor, you know, Palpatine got him after he lost Maul, or he thought he lost Maul, so he replaced him. That's another like angle of this story that I thought would be so interesting to see or to learn about. Like, what was the process of Palpatine being like, all right, I gotta get someone else, I'm gonna go for the most powerful Jedi alive's Padawan? That's something I want to see.
It's honestly just, he's such a big flex.
And they'll recast anyone, you know? They did a young Han Solo like we were just talking about. So
what's that actor's name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
I do really like him. I like the entire cast of Solo. I just didn't love the movie, but I don't hate it by any. I'm like you. I don't hate any of the Star Wars movies.
Just putting you on the spot, is there any actor you would kind of think to cast as Dooku, maybe recast? It's a younger Dooku. And I'll throw that to the chat as well. If you guys have any actors in mind,
Dooku.
Who could play Count Dooku? Who has that Christopher Lee like resonance in their voice?
They need a deep voice.
They would need a deep voice.
Wow. Do you have anyone in mind?
Well... I think this would be a great book regardless. Like, this is just a story we need. So I think if they don't even want to play around with the casting and the production, give us that book. But if they were going to make a movie or a miniseries on that,
Oh no. That wasn't a good guess. I just saw Liam Hemsworth and got excited. But you know what? He would be awful. Yeah, he would be awful in that character. I don't know, because it's hard, because I only know him.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
In an older version.
No, not him.
Oh, okay.
He wouldn't do it. I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis would ever commit to anything like that. But maybe like it's tough because you have to be an older actor, but also have that presence that Christopher Lee has. Like, there's not many people like him. That's what makes him so unique.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Quicksilver. Ooh.
He's also kick-ass. Aaron Taylor
Just a
Johnson.
Random.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, he's casted as everything, you guys. I can't. He was also in The Hobbit, which I'm watching, rewatched. Like, he's cast in everything.
I like that pick.
Oh gosh, right.
I like it. I like that pick a lot.
Okay.
What about like, just throwing some other people out there. I mean, what about like a not Michael Douglas. He's too short. It's just any older actor that's well known. It might just be odd because the thing with Alden Ehrenreich, he wasn't in much before Solo. And I still have trouble kind of picturing him as Han. It took me like a few minutes to accept that, and then boom, I thought he did a great job. If you get an older actor that's really well known, that's kind of hard to accept.
Yeah,
it's a tricky situation.
I would want to see like a in their 30s.
Yeah, and maybe an unknown.
Yeah,
who knows. So that's my answer. I want that story though, whether it's book, comic, TV, animated, anything. I need that story.
Yeah, I would love to see that story. I was also thinking, I wish we did have more Princess Leia when she was growing up and kind of seeing the development of her.
That's something you could throw into like the Crimson Dawn.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm with you. I'm with you, Rai.
Do you think you could get that? I mean, that there was rumor for some of that with Cassian Andor.
Oh yeah, especially with her dad. Was that confirmed? I don't know. I think that's still a rumor, right?
Oh, you're talking about
I forgot his name.
Oh, who? Pedro? Not Pedro.
No.
Were you talking about Carrie Fisher's daughter playing her?
No, but yeah, we were talking about that. But then the potential of her dad or her adoptive dad in the movie. Coming back to the Cassian Andor series.
Oh, yes. No, Jimmy Smits. I think he is confirmed, so he will be.
Oh, great. Yeah. So in that sense, maybe there would be a potential of that.
I think it'd be great. There's so many options. I'm excited.
Me too.
And they really need to capitalize on this stuff.
I agree. Also, shout out to everyone rocking with us, watching us. We're live every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST at the Popcorn Talk. Leave us a comment, hit that like button. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, leave us a review. Those are extra feisty and spicy.
We'll shout you out on air, guys, if you do a podcast review. We'll do it, and we'll do it a dramatic reading of it. So type it like
yes.
Dramatic.
Yes, but anyways, Ryan, until next week, where can everyone chat with you, keep up with you?
Oh my gosh, y'all, thank you so much again for tuning in. You can find me at Ryan Nilsson on Twitter. That's R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N, and at Ryan Nilsson on Instagram. Ton of awesome stuff coming up. We had some great stuff on the Popcorn Talk Network this past week with some Anatomy of a Movie and iTalk Movies, so you can check all that out. Steph, where can people find you?
Can find me all over social media at Steph Zabra on youtube.com/StephZabra. And then next week, we're going to be doing a World Girls episode on Roxy Stryer's YouTube page. And we'll be announcing that on social media what day exactly, but it will be another fun one. Yeah.
Can't wait to see.
Thanks, Rye. But thank you guys for watching from home. I hope you're all staying safe and at home with your friends and loved ones. And if you ever get lonely, you can reach out to Ryan or I.
Please.
And until next week, make the force. May the force be with you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.